The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Good morning. It's Find Your Phone Friday, 770-563-3770-KMED. So yeah, go ahead and put down the Jim Beam and you can check in. No, some mornings I feel like I want to be drinking heavily, but not today. It's Friday, going to be heading into the weekend. Some good conversation coming up. Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government, with the D.C. swamp update, and that'll always be pretty interesting. We're down to less than 3 weeks before the election, the selection season, as it were. And we're also going to talk with Mr. Outdoors, Greg Roberts, and get you set for the weekend. I guess we got pretty decent day. It's going to be warmer, about 77 tomorrow. We got some showers back in the forecast, probably late Sunday into Monday. Boy, it's cold this morning, though. I actually had some ice on the windshield, a little bit of ice, so it was a little frosty in my particular neck of the woods. And who else are we going to talk? Oh, yeah, Ron Smith. Ron Smith running for Josephine County Commission. We'll chat with him about the issues after 7:30. And Kevin Starrett. Kevin Starrett, I always enjoy talking with him, keeping him up on stuff. You know, there's this little Department of Defense directive, which got renewed and changed around a little bit, involving, the way the military or DOD interacts with we little people and the use of lethal force in the continental United States. And I know it's not Conspiracy Theory Thursday, but you can't really call it a conspiracy theory when they're putting it in writing. What does it all mean? A lot of people have been writing me, concerned about what they've been reading in some of the online journals. And so we'll have a little conversation about that, too, along with your calls and opinion. Diner 62 quiz we'll also have before the show wraps up for the week. And first things first, though, President Donald Trump, or former President Trump, soon to be hopefully the next President Trump, ends up being at the Al Smith dinner in New York yesterday. And it's a time when people get together. Kamala, I guess, just sent a video. She couldn't be there. But the thing is, Don, very funny. I have a little montage put together here of some of the humor. A little bit edgy at times, actually. But they were out there in New York. It was a lot of fun, really.
It's a true pleasure to be with you this evening. Amazing pleasure. And these days, it's really a pleasure anywhere in New York without a subpoena for my appearance. Joe has almost disappeared from view. The only way he could be seen less is if he had a show on CNN. They had nothing. They've got nothing. Fake news, right? Fake. There's a group called White Dudes for Harris. Have you seen this? White Dudes for Harris. Anybody know it? Are some of you here? White Dudes for Harris. Doesn't sound like it. But I'm not worried about them at all because their wives and their wives' lovers are all voting for me. Every one of those people is voting for me. I used to think the Democrats were crazy for saying that men have periods. But then I met Tim Walz.
Ooh.
Chuck Schumer is here looking very glum. Doesn't he look glum? He looks glum. But look on the bright side, Chuck, considering how woke your party has become. If Kamala loses, you still have a chance to become the first woman president. And I actually said, do you mind if I do that? And he said, no, you got to do what you got to do. He's a pro. He's a professional.
I love that. Yeah, he's a pro. He's a professional. Whatever it takes to get the job done, even if you identify as a woman, right? But anyway, Donald, very charming, very funny, as always. And that's one of the deals with the Alfred Smith dinner. You let your hair down. You have some fun. Kind of a roast sort of a deal. But Don showed up. Kamala did not. And it's poor form. That probably wouldn't have been as well received as the Don was in that case. All right, we'll talk more about that a little bit later on with Rick Manning. Appears that the momentum is in his direction, and what I tend to ignore are national polls. National polls, who cares, who cares? The only polls that I care about are the ones that are in the actual battleground states, because most of the states are pretty locked in as where they figure they're going to go and which states are leaning to one or the other. I don't know how people could not be decided at this point, but there are people that way, supposedly. All right. Speaking of the election, Oregon elections officials said they had to shut down the phone lines at the Secretary of State's office Thursday after a flood of out-of-state callers overwhelmed the system. According to this news release, the deluge of calls is a result of online conspiracy theories. Pardon me, had to do a little sneeze. You saw that on Facebook. That's why I don't like video. But anyway, they had a deluge of calls. It's a result of online conspiracy theories suggesting that Oregon election officials kept Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump out of the state's voters pamphlet. You'd be amazed how many people still think that the voters pamphlet is something that everybody gets into for free. I know. How many times have I been talking about this? There was one day last week, in fact, I even mentioned it on Facebook, that I had to send. I sent out 20, 25 emails to various people. No, it's not a conspiracy. Yes, I know that Don is not in the voters pamphlet. No, it's not the state doing it. It's not the Democrats doing it. He didn't pay for it. He didn't pay for the entry. All the voters pamphlet is essentially the cheapest political ad in the entire state for a candidate. That's what it is. That's what it is. You got to pay to be in there. Don did not want to pay to play. You could argue that maybe he got more attention by not being in it than he would if he had put his $4,000 ad in. I think it's like $3,500, $4,000. It's not very much, really, in the grand scheme of things. And so the Secretary of State's office shut down. And we were being threatened. And they're talking about it. And yeah, they're talking about people being threatened. I know. So if you have a lot of calls coming in, why would you shut it down? Why would you shut it down? Why don't you know your lines are being overloaded? So you just take the calls as they come. You talk to the people you can, and the ones that don't make it through, you don't. I don't get this. I guess the Secretary of State's office had to retreat to its safe space, you know, that kind of thing. And even OPB reports here. While it's true that Trump does not have a statement in the pamphlet, that is not because of any Oregon official. Trump's own campaign decided not to submit a statement for the pamphlet, which is sent out to voters throughout the state. Trump also didn't submit a statement for the Republican primary in May. As the Oregon Republican Party said in an October 10th statement to tap down the misinformation, many people are wondering why no campaign statement from Donald Trump was included in the voter's guide. The decision not to submit a statement was made by the Trump campaign earlier this year. Rest assured, President Trump will be on your ballot along with other strong, common-sense Republican candidates. Well, okay, Donald Trump will be on there. Will there be a lot of strong, common-sense Republican candidates? Well, we could argue about that. That could be. That is still an open possibility. We will we'll see what ends up happening. 19 minutes after 6. But, yeah, I guess the Secretary of State's office, the workers had to retreat to their safe spaces. Every time someone would write me or call me, I took about 20 seconds to tell them, listen, all you had to do, just know, realize that you had to pay to be in there. The Trump campaign didn't pay to be in there, and so they're not in the voter's guide. That's all there is to it. It's all you had to say. All you had to say. And the Secretary of State's office is just too overloaded. Can't handle the pressure. Yay. This is the Bill Meyer Show. Retreat to your safe space, SOS office.
Hi, I'm Steve Potter, body shop manager of Lithia Body and Paint, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
21 after 6, Friday morning, 770-5633, 770-KMED. Other news this morning, besides the Secretary of State's office shutting down, retreating to their safe space because too many Donald Trump fans were calling them saying, why are you not having it in the voters' pamphlet? Instead of just saying he didn't buy the ad. He didn't buy the ad. He didn't put a statement in it. Didn't submit a statement. They decided to just shut the line down instead. Kind of dumb. And there was implications from the Secretary of State that there were threats being made. Threats. Boy, I guess no one is made of any stern stuff these days. You just explain. Just say, hey, calm down. Don's going to be on the ballot. He didn't buy the ad. That's all there is to it. I really do think this is maybe four or five dimensional chess that he's playing in this particular case. You get more people talking about him because he's not in it than they would be talking about him if he were in it. So maybe that's what's going on. I don't know. 22 after 6. Other news this morning here, and then I'll get to your calls. California Highway Patrol investigating a major injury crash after car plunges into the Klamath River. CHP investigating this crash sent three people to the hospital. Okay, so the reason why this was an important story, this happened near Happy Camp. This is where we ended up having that that water sample that was taken that showed that the Klamath River is filled with garbage. Okay, remember the water sample, which, by the way, I have up on KMED.com on my show blog. You can take a look at those reports and results if you wish. And Bob Shan sent this from me from KOBI because he says, hey, look at the car as they pull it out. It's covered in that amazing muck, an incredible muck that's all over the Klamath River everywhere from the dam removal, right? And so, yeah, he's right. Yeah, it's bad-looking car besides just the normal wreck. Betty Martin writes me this morning, Bill, so I was watching either ABC or NBC5, I don't know, and they were talking about all the things good with the dam removal in the same shots of the video. They were showing the chocolate milk water right behind them. So I'm so sorry that they won't comment and tell the truth. Even Stevie Wonder could see the truth about how that river, what shape that river is in at this point. And then I also ended up getting a news release from ODF&W, and they're talking breathlessly about this. ODF&W spots first salmon in Oregon's Klamath Basin in 112 years. October 16th, a fall run Chinook salmon identified by ODF&W's fish biologist in a tributary above the former J.C. Boyle Dam, becoming the first fish to return to the Klamath Basin in Oregon since 1912. Of course, I'm surprised that it would know to return there. But and they have these pictures of the fish, and they look photoshopped. Is it just me? I don't know if you've seen that. They're just swimming on top of the water. There's the fish above the water and swimming it. And the part that's even more interesting is that they had cameras underwater, and they just happen to have the film crew there as the one salmon. The one salmon makes it through there just as the film crew is there. Now, count me as just more than a little bit suspicious. Maybe it happened that way. But my spidey sense that one salmon that supposedly made it all the way up past the dam, first time in 112 years, here comes the magic fish. I'll bet it was a magic fish. I wouldn't be surprised if it ended up being carried up from the mouth of the river, the Klamath River, down by the ocean, and then thrown in the back of someone's pickup truck, and then dumped out for the film crew at ODF&W. But I can't prove that, but it just feels so weird that, and yeah, it's chocolate brown water up there, but yet they're showing everything. Oh, everything's so nice and clear over here. Well, it's the tributary, you know. So they dump it into the tributary. Somebody takes it up in a pickup truck, dumps it in the middle of the night, says, hey, here's a fish, here's a fish. Because I'd still like to know how it made it through that section of the Klamath River at Happy Camp that is so dark and filled with sediment that it would just slime the gills up within short order. I'd be really curious to know that. The film crew just happens to be there from OD. Oh, there's the fish. We were so excited. The fish just happened to be there. Yeah. All right. I should not be doubting the scientists and biologists, but I can't help myself. There's just been too much BS about the Klamath, in my opinion. But anyway, hello, Tom. How are you doing this Friday morning? Welcome.
Oh, good, Bill. Yeah, I bet was the fish there wearing a certified EPA hazmat suit?
I didn't see any masks on it or anything else that was able to see its way up the river. But who knows? Who knows? But quite interesting. Quite interesting.
Anyway, I know the election selection is the hot topic, but I wanted to point out to people that Lou Rockwell's leading article today is by Naomi Wolf, and she just released the book of the documentation of the it's called the Pfizer Papers.
Oh yeah. And it goes. That's right. She was doing like a crowdsourced analysis of the data of the vaccine's data. Right? Wasn't that right?
Yeah.
Remember that? I talked to her a few months about that.
Mm-hmm. Over 3,000 doctors, researchers, investigators, really people plunged into all the details of it. And basically, the vaccinations wasn't safe and wasn't effective. And it documents all that.
And this was using Pfizer's own data, too. That's what makes this this study important, why it's using their own data. So about the hidden truth that whole time. During that period.
Yeah, they knew within just 3 months, 100% for sure, that they weren't safe and they weren't effective. And so the whole thing has been a holocaust that's maimed and murdered millions of people across the planet. So I just wanted people to go into that and look at that. And the importance of it is that when you see such a lie as this being promoted, any time you see a promoted lie by the media, it's like a gateway or doorway into asking what else are they lying about. For me, back in the late 60s, I realized real concretely in my gut that they were lying about the assassinations, and I started a search for the truth behind all the lies, and of course led into the deep state and the oligarchs and who was really running this country. But so people, we have a different way, a different path. If you can find one lie that you finally really get it, it's like,
well, yeah, if you find one lie, then you know what you're dealing with. I think it's even simpler than that, Tom, and I appreciate your coming, where you're coming from here. But once you discover them in one lie, you have to understand what you're dealing with. It's kind of like that system gets convicted. Now the challenge, though, that you run into is that there are truths that also come out of the same government. You know, there are times that they do tell the truth, usually because it's either innocuous or helps, or telling the truth might actually help further the agenda. But you can't go wrong by having some serious questioning right from the beginning, because, you know, if you work from the beginning with, okay, what that system is trying to tell you to get you to give up your liberties is a lie, and just figuring out it's a lie from the beginning, you can almost take that to the bank 90% of the time.
Oh, absolutely. And so as I say, you discover one lie, and it really brings into your mind what else are they lying about. And, the media tells you, for the most part, what's going on, but it doesn't tell you why. It never makes connections.
Well, the why isn't all that important, supposedly. It's just what and keeping you distracted about that. Appreciate your take as always. Okay, got a roll here, but thanks for hanging on for this, Tom. Let me go to, I think Bob's here. Bob, thank you, by the way, for sending me the picture of that that goopy, dirt-covered Klamath wreck.
you're welcome, Bill. You didn't mention my little catchphrase of mud magnet instead of magnet fishing. They can use mud magnet.
Oh, mud magnet. Mud magnet. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But, so, do you have any suspicions about the one lone magic fish that's never been able to make it over for 112 years, and now the dam's gone, and then magically it just found its way up there, and boy, it's just.
Happy days. What piqued me was the fact that the media, print and TV, not so much radio, it's kind of hard to do, but they'll use stock photo images that kind of go along with the narrative.
Well, yeah, and they don't really identify it as stock footage.
Yeah, they do that a lot. That happens a lot. They don't identify it as stock image.
Uh-huh.
So that may be that.
So you think that might be the picture that they were showing in the ODF&W? Release
image or video to depict what is written. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because otherwise, I'm thinking, okay, you just happen to be there. The ODF&W fish biologists are there. They just happen to be there when the star of the show shows up on the stage. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
I got a question for you. I'm wondering if you trimmed your toenails lately.
Actually, yes, I did. I trimmed them over the weekend when I was on vacation.
Okay. That's very good because I watched the 5-on-5 with Denise Krause, you know, running with, what's his name, Craig Smullen.
Yes.
And I tried to watch it objectively, and it kind of reminded me of a female version of you, pronouns notwithstanding.
Okay.
And now, I don't know if you watched it or not.
No, I did not. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of Denise Krause. And
no, I'm not either.
Because all I have to do is just know this is the person that wanted to completely upend the county charter and bring in the intrusions of the Democratic Party.
What I'm thinking is they're using your model.
How's that?
To reach people. She was talking about how they spend their money. Transparency and things of those sort. So just saying the way she presented herself, the way she spoke, I think she was trying to reach a fiscal or other conservative audience.
Oh, okay. Well, see, this is the way that a Democrat gets elected. You have to essentially all of a sudden discover your inner, I'm worried about the money now in this $350 million, actually, I think it's even more than that in the Jackson County budget. I know that I'm a Democrat, and I know that we Democrats want to spend all money all the time. It's the only reason we exist, especially if we can spend money to tyrannize someone. But the thing is, for me to become your next county commissioner, I have to pretend that I'm really concerned about the money. I'm so worried about the money. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Bill.
All right. I'll take one more. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hey, it's Lynn.
Hello, Lynn. Welcome.
Hey. Good morning. I was listening to Tom's call and also your talk about, you know, the whole thing with Trump not being in the pamphlet. And there's a connection there. You know, Pfizer obviously knew and our government knew that these shots were going to hurt people and damage their fertility is the biggest problem. Well, I don't know. It's horrible.
And then at the same time, then, since we have fewer babies, we have to have more migrants come in, right?
Of course. Mm-hmm. It's all connected. So the point I wanted to make is if Trump gets in there, we're going to get Bobby Kennedy in there and they're going to blow the lid off this corruption. And I want to tell Oregonians, your vote really does count because the other push we want to stop is the push to get rid of the Electoral College. And if Trump can win the popular vote, that will put at least a damper on that push to get rid of the Electoral College. So even though Trump probably can't win Oregon, it's really important for as many people as we can get to vote Trump.
Agreed, because remember, we have, I think there's 17 states that have the pact with themselves that, you know, if there's any problem with the Electoral College or whatever it is, that they will throw their Electoral College votes to whoever wins the popular vote.
Yeah, and I think Oregon's one of them.
Yeah, Oregon is one of them. Yeah, Democrats signed on to this pact because they always assume that the popular vote always goes to the Democrats. So prove them wrong in this case. All right.
Got to prove them wrong. Tell all your friends, do not assume even your politically aware friends are going to vote. Sometimes they just like to talk and they don't get around to doing it. So we need to talk to everyone we know and say, did you vote or are you going to vote?
Yep.
And they're more likely to vote if they tell somebody else that they're going to. So,
all right. Get them on it. And point well taken. And thank you so much, as always, Lynn. You be well.
Okay.
All right.
You too. Bye.
6:35, DC Swamp Update. We're going to dive into the fetid swamp here with Rick in just a couple of minutes. This is the Bill Meyer Show on KMED KBXG.
The new Jackson County Circuit Court judge position needs a new kind of judge. The Oregon Legislature's creation of a new Jackson County judge position opens the door for change. Johan Pietila possesses the temperament, experience, and dedication needed to be that judge for Jackson County. He brings a hands-on approach and the experience to help solve major issues. You can expect transparency, fairness, and respect in Johan's courtroom.
I'm Johan Pietila. In a courtroom, everyone deserves a fair chance to be heard. My commitment to procedural justice means neutrality, respect, and trust will guide every decision in my courtroom. As Circuit Court Judge, I will continue to demonstrate my dedication to the citizens of Jackson County and would be humbled to have your vote.
Vote Johan Pietila, paid for by the committee to elect Johan Pietila for Jackson County Circuit Court Judge. Learn more at pietilaforjudge.org.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. The Oregon State Elections Division had to shut down its phone lines Thursday. The office was inundated with calls after social media posts claimed former President Trump was the subject of voter interference and purposely excluded from the Oregon voters pamphlet. You have to pay to be in the Oregon voters pamphlet, and just like in the primaries, the Trump campaign opted not to submit a statement. Trump is still on the ballot. Oregon's Department of Fish and Wildlife claim they have a sighting of the first salmon in Oregon's Klamath Basin since 1912. The fall run Chinook was identified by biologists in a tributary earlier this week. This after four dams were removed. The great shakeout was Thursday, a reminder to prepare for an earthquake. Part of that preparation may be purchasing earthquake insurance. Kenton Brine with the Northwest Insurance Council says not all coverage is the same. Policy limits differ, as well as deductibles can be very high. Not all homeowner insurance companies offer earthquake insurance, so you may need to shop around. Bill London, KMED.
Is your business or personal tax return under IRS audit? Tell the IRS First Response Resolution has got it. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point, your local tax resolution experts. Visit firstresponseirs.com and talk to Zach in Eagle Point. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer.
The purchase of another gutter manufacturing machine has spurred speculation at the offices of Fontana Roofing.
Yes, we'll custom fabricate them on site in your choice of 30 colors and includes heavy duty hangers, zinc plated screws, and complete downspouts. Great. Talk to you soon.
Another quote?
Yep. They're deciding between copper, steel, or aluminum. All will last decades. Even when they're occasionally plugged, they can handle the weight of water and leaves.
And space dust. Researchers have calculated about 5,200 metric tons of micrometeorites fall to Earth every year.
Huh. Ooh, what about bird poo? I'm guessing that's got to be in the millions of tons dropping from the sky every day into the gutters.
Fontana Roofing manufactures sturdy, custom gutter systems to withstand just about whatever lands on your roof. Call Fontana Roofing for your next set of gutters. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Access your stored items in comfort. Storage at Exit 24 has climate-controlled elevator access units from 5x5 to 10x30 that are warm in the winter, cool in the summer, and always well-lit and secure. Visit storage at exit24.com.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
20 before 7, more fetid than ever.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights, because I don't.
With extra fetidness this morning, too. The D.C. Swamp Update. Rick Manning's the president of Americans for Limited Government. How you doing, Rick? Welcome back.
I don't know if I should take that personally or not. I'm sniffing my underarms.
No. Extra fetidness. It's just the swamp. It's the water. I don't know if it's water that you swim in there or not. It's
kind of like the old Olympia beer commercial. It's the water and a lot more.
It's the water, and boy, that's too bad. But anyway, just having a good time this morning. It's a very interesting week. Very interesting week in the swamp, no doubt. But it was a lot of fun. Did you catch the Al Smith dinner with Trump last night?
I read a lot of the jokes, and oh my gosh.
Okay, well, you know, if you're just waking up, though, if you're just waking up and you haven't heard some of it, I'm going to play about a minute and a half of them. And Don's charming. He's always good on the stump like this.
It's a true pleasure to be with you this evening. Amazing pleasure. And these days, it's really a pleasure anywhere in New York without a subpoena for my appearance. Joe has almost disappeared from view. The only way he could be seen less as if he had a show on CNN. They have nothing. They've got nothing. Fake news, right? Fake. There's a group called White Dudes for Harris. Have you seen this? White Dudes for Harris. Anybody know? Are some of you here? White Dudes for Harris. Doesn't sound like it. But I'm not worried about them at all because their wives and their wives' lovers are all voting for me. Every one of those people is voting for me. I used to think the Democrats were crazy for saying that men have periods, but then I met Tim Walz. Chuck Schumer is here looking very glum. Doesn't he look glum? He looks glum. But look on the bright side, Chuck, considering how woke your party has become. If Kamala loses, you still have a chance to become the first woman president. And I actually said, do you mind if I do that? He said, no, you got to do what you got to do. He's a pro. He's a professional.
Yeah, he's a pro. He's a professional. He'll do whatever it takes to get the job done. But, you know, that's the thing about Don. Say what you will. The guy's funny and charming, and a lot of people don't know that about President Trump until you hang out around there for a while. But he's a funny guy. A lot of people don't realize that. He's good at it.
Yeah, he is. You know, he spent 50 years on, you know, basically the public spotlight, just kind of being a personality. And it's very few people who are built, who are heads of construction companies, can put on a tuxedo and entertain a crowd the way he can. So he is he's a unique individual, and I think it's that kind of almost persona where you almost have a little twinkle in his eye where he says some things that makes people, you know, makes a lot of people want to vote for him, because he's, you know, everybody wants to take him. I don't think he takes himself nearly as seriously as people think he does.
And I also think that a lot of times his way of working something is to throw something really outrageous, even on the campaign trail, right? You throw something really outrageous, so super outrageous, almost testing the waters. And I've started to come to realize that, because a lot of times I'll hear some of the campaign promises. I think, oh, that's just nonsense. That's not going to work. But then you hear how it kind of gets it's almost like he chums the water in a way with his conversation style. Would that be
That's a great way of putting it. It's I've heard a lot of people close to him say, a lot of times when he's going off, you know, his teleprompter, going off script, as opposed to, Kamala, who goes, what he does is he goes and he tests ideas he has. And he throws them up against a live audience, because he gets actual live responses. He gets real responses. He sees if the thing flies or if it dies, you know, if it kind of just falls dead. Because if it doesn't fly with his core audience, he's really not interested in doing it. Huh. And it's kind of like the world's biggest focus group.
Yeah, it's kind of like a live version of the guy on Fox who does the knobs. You know, the knob guy.
Yeah, that's exactly it, the knob guy. I don't know if he wants to be called a knob, but anyway.
I forget his name, but we all know who we're talking about, right? We've seen him there. Yeah. The knob guy is all I have to call him.
Yeah, those things are always interesting to watch and participate in. But from a he sits there and he goes, he throws something out to the crowd, their crowd who's come to see him. So they're like-minded, and he tests whether or not what he's saying works or doesn't work, depending on crowd response. If it doesn't work in front of one of his crowds, it kind of goes away. And that's one of the interesting characteristics, is he's truly not run by people who are coming up with ideas in D.C. necessarily. He's run by, you know, personal observations and kind of the feedback he gets from the people he interacts with. You know, quite honestly, I'm not sure what I think about the no tips on wages on tips, rather, or no taxes
on wages. Yeah,
it's a little. Yeah, it's a little bit. I'm really not all that much in favor of things which sit there and pick winners and losers, even if it's at any level.
I feel the same way about that, because I'm sorry, I don't think tips are gifts. Tips are essentially used to replace they're part of wages. Well, they're certainly being spent as wages. Okay.
Well, and that's one of the arguments that leftists use, is that they should be paid more money by the restaurant, and people should, you know, we should go back and go to Europe and where people don't get tips. Mm-hmm. But it is a guy from the hotel and restaurant industry, because let's face it, they're intertwined.
he's sitting there, he's talking to people who are living off their tips.
Yeah.
And he's saying, wait a second, these people are living off their tips, and, you know, some are doing pretty well, but, you know, it's pretty middle class. And my wife worked her way through college on tips, so.
So did mine.
I'm well familiar with the whole experience, but it is a, but the idea is saying, hey, wait a second, you know, they're artificially trying to figure out what the tips are. They're saying crediting 8% of the receipts as tips,
which may not be true, right?
Which is likely not true. And so if they're just making it up anyway, let's just say, you know, if you're getting tip income and we don't know how much it is, you know, just spend it well.
Yeah, the other aspect of some of the campaign promises.
Salary in quarters.
Yeah,
well, counting your salary in quarters.
And yet, you see, but you can understand though how the regular wage slaves though get really irritated at this, because every single penny that a normal wage slave gets that is put through the ADP, big payroll machine gets counted and taxed, and it's like, wait a minute, so if I had my boss give me a pile of quarters, it wouldn't be taxed, but if it goes through ADP, you know,
what that would be describing is the illegal alien black market economy.
Very true.
So it's a, which are also not tips. You know, he says on Social Security, he says, well, Social Security income shouldn't be taxed, and Paul Gosar had legislation on that, which he introduced about 2 years ago. And I've had a lot of talks with Paul about different Social Security reforms that I think would be viable. And it really was kind of sketchy on the Social Security income not being taxed until I kind of thought it through. Social Security is already taxed. Every dollar you pay into Social Security, you don't get a deduction from it. It is part of your gross income. Mm-hmm. And as a result, you're paying taxes on your Social Security when you pay it into them. So it is essentially like a Roth IRA that's been constructed. That you pay your taxes on the income up front, and you get the capital gains, and you can take it out later with no tax liability. And so Social Security is really built along the, it's a defined pension, but it's the concept is the same as a Roth IRA. And as a result, since you're already paying taxes on it up front, it is, and you're not getting the capital gains, you know, in any way, shape, or form, no definable capital gains, and certainly you don't keep it and transfer as wealth. It makes sense that since you pay the taxes on it up front, you shouldn't have to pay the taxes on it again on the back end.
Well, I just know even personally in my life, it's like, why should my wife, who has a modest Social Security, benefit in there, get socked because I'm still working? It's almost as if a tax on Social Security is about encouraging people not to work, almost.
Which is really stupid, because we have a dearth of, we need people to stay working, not quit working. So yeah, that's exactly right. And then you get into some of the more finer points of if you make above a certain amount of money, and Social Security counts on this, they charge you more for Medicare. They rate, you know, you end up in different. They look at your tag, how much ever your tax bracket is, and you get charged a premium.
And by the way, this kind of setup, the way they have it set up, is also designed to discourage being married too.
It certainly does. It has that impact.
And how many seniors have you heard about getting divorced, in which they were, you know, pretty close to the bone, and then getting divorced, and then they were able to finagle better benefits by not being married?
Of course, it's if your joint income puts you into a position where you're paying more money for Medicare, well, that's money that you don't have. And if you get divorced and you're not paying more money for Medicare, you just pay the base, then that's, you know, it saves you money.
But anyway, you know, taking it back to what Trump, though, this is what he throws this stuff out here. And there may be some decent backing for some of this. And of course, it certainly creates news and it creates buzz.
It creates massive news.
And taking it back to the Al Smith dinner last night, too. I think we understand why Kamala didn't show up. I don't think Kamala could have worked within that kind of a, you know, that sort of extemporaneous speaking and trying to tell some jokes and things. I just don't think she would have done very well there. Just wouldn't have been her.
She would have been laughed at. We can tell you. I can tell you that. It just might not have been getting the laugh she wanted.
Yeah, well, she would have been laughed at for the wrong reason. Don Trump was being laughed at for the right reason because he was, you know, delivering a line. It's not really her her strength then. But be that as it may, I know I keep hearing talk about national polls. Should we even care about national polls? To me, the only polls that matter are battleground state, and that's about it. What do you think at this point?
Historically speaking, if any Republican, but in this case Trump, only loses the national poll by the national vote by 2%, they're going to win the election.
Oh yeah,
and so it has value from that perspective, because in places like California and LA County, you have 700,000 people per congressional district. Very few of them vote. And when you do a poll, they're included, and they all vote Democrat. So in a lot of congressional districts in New York City and in mostly big city congressional districts. And so any national poll is going to be distributed in such a way that it shows the disproportionate impact of heavily Democrat districts.
Okay.
And what that means elsewhere is that the rest of the districts, if it's even, the rest of the districts in the country have to be going Republican in a pretty overwhelming trend. And it's just one of those anomalies that you get. And because California has such a disproportionate impact on the overall national vote, about 1/9 of the vote comes from California. Being an overwhelming winner in California means in the other 49 states, Trump would be a winner in the other 49 states just by much larger, smaller margins, because we don't win as big in Texas and Florida as they win in California and New York. And so that's just a reality.
But just because the Democrats win bigger in California doesn't mean that they're going to win bigger nationally, right?
It has no bearing. That's correct. Which,
of course, is why the Democrats want the national popular vote, though. That's why.
Of course. That's why any state legislature who says, I'm going to sign on into an effort they're making to say, our state will vote with the national popular vote, regardless in the Electoral College, regardless of how our state vote turned out. There are a number of states that have signed up for that, and the Democrats are pushing it. But any state who sits there and says, I'm going to do that, is essentially saying, I'm going to let California vote for me. I mean, that's the net of it. Because
Oregon will never see another presidential candidate ever, ever, never.
Why?
It won't happen. Why would they bother?
Yeah.
Why would they bother? They just go to New York. They just go to L.A. and they'd go to Boston. The big Democrat hive mind.
They'll go to right, and there's absolutely no incentive to campaigning in Oregon for that reason. But the real problem with the national vote on this, and depending on California, if California is holding honest elections, that'd be one thing. But they're sending out live ballots willy nilly to anybody who's on their rolls. They don't make it so their registration rolls are purged.
Hey, we have more people on the voter rolls that actually exist in Oregon too.
And they all got ballots. So does that make you feel good, those of you who actually do exist?
Yay.
Oregonians who do exist are being outvoted by Oregonians who don't exist. Quite a trick to pull off and call it a democracy.
I was talking with Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch yesterday, right, and he says they're actually thinking about suing the state of Oregon. They're going to sue Oregon over this very issue, he says.
Good. That's good. It's something to watch. Is they did the same thing in Los Angeles County. I don't know if he told you this. I'm pretty good friends with Tom. They did the same thing in L.A. County, and they found that there was about 1.5 million voters who shouldn't have been on the voting rolls out of 7.5 million. And L.A. County promised after we're done with three more election cycles, we'll purge the rolls. Okay. And which seemed rather odd, But the judge said, sure. I'm not sure. I looked at the data, and because I used to live in L.A. County and ran campaigns in L.A. County. I looked at the data about a year ago, and it sure didn't look to me like they'd had any great drop in the voter registration numbers, which you would see if you had 1.5 million people on the voter registration rolls illegally and they've been purged. And interestingly, in the last presidential election, if I am what's the last president, it may have been the congressional, may have been the presidential. The number of people who did not vote in the election was exactly the number of people that were supposed to purge, so that they didn't appear to have purged. So, ironically, I think they just left them on the rolls, but they. But everybody else in the county miraculously voted. And given the fact that LA County has a significantly disproportionate impact on the overall state vote in California,
that still looks a little suspicious, though, doesn't it?
Listen, the whole thing's shady.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't think they actually did purge the vote. And so I don't know what Judicial Watch has been doing to follow up to make sure the court order was actually followed, but. On an Oregon perspective, if there's a lawsuit and there's some kind of settlement negotiated with Secretary of State, local people need to be very, very, very diligent in making certain that the actual settlement is followed.
One of the issues that we have here is that there was a rule put in place by the Secretary of State. It's just a rule, not a law, once again,
right. That
imposed a very high level of ballot privacy. And what happens then if you wish to audit an election after the fact, there can't be anything on these ballots which could identify a voter. Because, you know, a lot of people put their name on it or you put something which is identifiable. It's stupid, but they do that, right? And so, but anyway, and for that reason, we had a couple of state senators that were trying to audit various county elections here. And then... they're being told by the county, as an example, that you'd have to cough up almost $1 million to be able to look at the ballots because the county would have to hire people to go through all of these ballots and ensure that there was nothing that was identifiable, right? And so when you have rules like that put in place by the Democrat hack Secretary of State, essentially you aren't able to look at the ballots because nobody can pay the money necessary to be able to look at the ballots. And that's not like corrupt or anything, is it? Right? That's not corrupt.
No.
Right? Nothing.
No. Nothing to see here. You can't look at the ballots. Trust us. By the way, we've got more voters than we have people. Trust us. It's all kosher. There's nothing could go wrong.
Yeah.
The lawsuit has to be against the Secretary of State for establishing a rule that effectively denies a candidate the ability to request a review of the election. Because that, in and of itself, if we remember correctly from ancient history, when you put in a poll tax of $1 or $2, it was deemed to be and was intended to
be. They went off on you about that, on the states about that.
Deliberately, it was to keep blacks from voting, poor people from voting. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. Well, and it was intended for that, and it got called out for that, which is fine. But if you put $1 million tax based on a rule, not passed by anybody, just a rule, effectively $1 million tax on trying to review the election results and try to make certain that the election was fairly held, you've effectively done the same thing as a poll tax because the net effect is you're denying people certainty that their vote was actually counted and that others who were not eligible's vote wasn't.
Because the way they tend to look at a voting audit here in Oregon is that, well, just run the same ballots that you have through the machine. And if you get the same result, then it's okay. Right?
Well, that's not an audit.
No, it's not.
That's not an audit.
Yeah,
that's,
we know that. All right, so anyway.
Putting an Excel equation in and doing it again and saying, oh, it came with the same number.
Hey, it looks fine. Nothing to see.
The number's wrong.
Okay. But you see, this also just says why the voter turnout here in Oregon and everywhere else is so important because there is potentially an amount of hinky in there that has not been flushed out. We know that. And so staying home is not going to help flush out the hinky either, okay? The other thing I was going to mention before we take off here, and I had a friend that was just asking me, wanted me to ask you, that Do you think that the Democrats will engage in additional chicanery this time to, or what will they do anything by any means necessary to keep Donald Trump out if he were to win the November election? What do you think?
No, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, they've said they will. Let's just look at the facts. They spent 4 years when he was president seeking to destroy his presidency through impeachment and obstruction and inside obstruction, actual resistance from the bureaucratic class. So they did that. He gets out, and then they spend 4 years indicting him around the country on made-up charges, using the Department of Justice to effectively try to keep him from being able to be president. Then, when they found he was going to beat Joe Biden based on the polls, they switched out Joe Biden miraculously and brought in Kamala Harris to be the candidate, who nobody had voted for in any primary or any caucus ever.
But it's about saving democracy once again.
But they're saving democracy once again.
Yeah.
We have and you have Jimmy Raskin saying overtly, member of Congress, saying overtly that if Donald Trump wins, we will do everything in our power to make certain he's not president. We have today a release by the
And yeah, gee, isn't that an election denier?
It would be, yes. Uh-huh. We have Jack Smith today with the help of U.S. District Court Judge Chodkin, I think is her name, who we need to impeach if we get control of the Congress. We've got her sitting there releasing every allegation, all the backup materials that Jack Smith has collected on a Trump indictment that hasn't gone to trial, but they can't bring it to trial because he's got immunity. So they're trying him now in the Washington Post. So do I think that when they'll do that against all the DOJ rules of not doing anything to influence the election 60 days before, do I think that the Democrats, when Donald Trump wins, will attempt to pull rabbits out of a hat to try to say he's ineligible based on the insurrection clause? Let me think. I can't imagine they won't.
All right. And we will wrap with this. It's going to be a really interesting. I don't think it's going to be a calm, cool, collected final 2 months of this year. Just thinking. All right. So,
batten down the hatches, because if you think the swamp is fetid now, wait until you see the swamp at its absolute biggest, when it's most fearful. And you will find awesome, really awful creatures arising, and you will not recognize the country that you live in based on the type of things that they're going to try to do.
And that's why we have you here to discuss this. All right. Good report. Yeah. Good report this morning, as always.
Don't be discouraged. Vote.
All right.
Vote. Don't be discouraged.
We won't be. We're out there. We're everywhere. We're just legit, though, okay? Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. Catch you next Friday. Rick, be well, okay?
Thanks, buddy. Yeah.